Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 742, Body Count, subtitled Sweet Home Alabama. This program is being recorded on May 15th of the year 2004. We're going to plunge right into the subject material of this broadcast, which is literally taking a look at a lot of bodies that have been piling up. Some, quite obviously, murders. Some, supposedly, accidents. A large percentage of them, supposedly, self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the head. A whole epidemic of those. And a lot of these are taking place in Alabama and appear to be connected to some of the shenanigans that had been taking place in Alabama in the last decade. Basically, a number of people who have been connected to not only the Republican infrastructure in Alabama, but also to people who have been linked to A, Jack Abramoff's activities in the South, some of his money laundering and political fixing activities. B, have been connected to the scandal surrounding the apparent manipulation of U.S. attorneys by Karl Rove. In a nutshell, old 666 himself, the beast of the apocalypse, Karl Rove, was deeply implicated in attempting to politicize the activities of U.S. attorneys around the country in order to prevail upon them to pursue legal investigations that would politically neutralize Democratic politicians and around the United States. That is illegal. It's also rotten because politicizing the pursuit of justice just doesn't benefit anybody. Karl Rove, of course, right now has been spending a lot of time in Sweden as the special advisor to the current Prime Minister of Sweden, known as the Ronald Reagan of Europe. And a lot of people connected to, again, the apparent attempt to manipulate U.S. attorneys in Alabama. In turn, the gambling situation down in Alabama, some of whose advocates and some of whose apparent opponents are linked to the whole Karl Rove machination scenario in Alabama. And also the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is one of the things that Karl Rove was attempting to manipulate. In any event, gambling, manipulation of the U.S. attorneys, manipulation of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, or perhaps coordination of some of those activities with the U.S. Chamber of Congress, the activities of Citizen Abramoff, all of these various strands of the web that has been spun by old 666 himself down in Alabama, among other places. So a lot of these deaths are taking place in Alabama, and we're going to start by reviewing something from For the Record program number 659. This is called Heating It Up. That was a For the Record show just before Obama took office called Heating It Up for Obama. And a story called Bush Insider Who Planned to Tell All Killed in Plane Crash. Nonprofit demands full federal investigation. This from Yahoo.com from December 20th of 2008 will command our initial attention. The article reads, Michael Connell, the Bush IT expert who has been directly implicated in the rigging of George Bush's 2000 and 2004 elections, was killed last night when his single-engine plane crashed 3 miles short of the Akron airport. Velvet Revolution, or VR, a nonprofit that has been investigating Mr. Connell's activities for the past 2 years, can now reveal that a person close to Mr. Connell has recently been discussing with a VR investigator how Connell can tell all about his work for George Bush. Mr. Connell told a close associate that he was afraid that George Bush and Dick Cheney would, quote, throw him under the bus, unquote. A tipster close to the McCain campaign disclosed to VR in July that Connell's life was in jeopardy and that Karl Rove had threatened both him and his wife, Heather. VR's attorney Cliff Arnebeck notified the United States Attorney General, Ohio law enforcement, and the federal court about these threats and insisted that Mr. Connell be placed in protective custody. VR also told a close associate of Mr. Connell's not to fly his plane because of another tip that the plane could be sabotaged. Mr. Connell, a very experienced pilot, has had to abandon at least 2 flights in the past 2 months because of suspicious problems with his aircraft. On December 18, 2008, Mr. Connell flew to a small airport outside of Washington, D.C. to meet some people. It was on his return flight the next day that he crashed. On October 31st, Mr. Connell appeared before a federal judge in Ohio after being subpoenaed in a federal lawsuit investigating the rigging of the 2004 election under the direction of Karl Rove. The judge ordered Mr. Connell to testify under oath at a deposition on November 3rd, the day before the presidential election. Velvet Revolution received confidential information that the White House was extremely concerned about Mr. Connell talking about his illegal work for the White House, and two Bush-Cheney 04 attorneys were dispatched to represent him. An associate of Mr. Connell's told VR that Mr. Connell was involved with the destruction of the White House emails and the setting up of the off-the-grid White House email system. Mr. Connell handled all of John McCain's computer work in the recent presidential campaign. VR has received direct evidence that the McCain campaign kept abreast of the legal developments against Mr. Connell by reading the VR-dedicated website www.rovecybergate.com. Now, the destruction of the White House emails, in addition to referring to the topics alluded to in, or the scams alluded to in this particular post, or the article, namely the rigging of the 2000 and 2004 elections, it also goes, those destruction of White House emails, to the question of Karl Rove engaging in highly illegal activities by attempting to manipulate the activities of U.S. attorneys in order to prevail upon them, as I said, to launch investigations of a partisan nature which would politically destroy or neutralize Democratic politicians. One of the people who has been the focal point of allegations that he was the victim of just such machinations by Karl Rove is the former governor of Alabama, Don Eugene Siegelman. Very briefly, and I'm going to put the link for the entire Wikipedia entry for Siegelman in the description for the record 742, very quickly from his Wikipedia entry. Don Eugene Siegelman is an American Democratic Party politician who has held numerous offices in Alabama. He was the 51st governor of Alabama for one term from 1999 to 2003. Skipping down, after the expiration of his governorship, two of Alabama's United States attorneys began a criminal investigation against him on accusations of corruption while in office. Indictments came in 2004 and again in 2005, and in 2006 he was convicted on corruption charges. Since then, there have been several counter-accusations by various former attorneys general and officials that his prosecution was intentionally wrongful, engineered by presidential advisor Karl Rove and officials of the U.S. Department of Justice to gain political advantage. And that remains an allegation because his conviction was upheld on appeal. I cannot say whether or not Mr. Siegelman was involved in corruption. A lot of people are, and that goes across the aisle. But and I also can't say much about the appeals court ruling that upheld his conviction, in spite of an awful lot of indications that it was funky. Let's just say one of the rhetorical persuasive elements may have been what we're going to be talking about for much of the rest of this side of For the Record 742, namely an epidemic of violent deaths in Alabama, all of them connected to the machinations of the Republican infrastructure in Alabama under the direction of old 666 himself, under the direction of Karl Rove. Now, some of the tendrils again reviewing the Jack Abram machinations down there, the Jack Abramoff machinations, excuse me, the manipulation of gambling interests in Alabama to the benefit of Republican operatives and members of the Republican infrastructure there. Note that one of the key people who was implicated in this was posing as an opponent of gambling. Also, the manipulation of Alabama's economic and political infrastructure so as to coordinate Rove's activities against the Democratic Party with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and its downlinks in Alabama, so to speak. So, again, the infrastructure in Alabama, Republicans, business, as usual perhaps for Republicans, Jack Abramoff, gambling, and all of this under the watchful eye of the beast of the apocalypse himself, Karl Rove. Now, the names, because these are certainly not household names, these are names of people who died violently in Alabama, all of them connected to that through that web of machinations. One is a guy named Charles Bubba Major. Also a guy named Major Basinski, B-A-S-I-N-S-K-A. Also, a fellow named Bob Cavanis, an investigator in the former Alabama Attorney General's office. And also a woman named Zoa White. Now, Zoa White is the focal point of a homicide investigation. She was found beaten to death with a hammer in her mobile home in Alabama. And all of the others, Bob Major, Major Basinski, two different people, don't forget to let the majors confuse you here, and Bob Cavanis, and also a fellow named Bob Stacy, Ralph Stacy, Bob Cavanis, Bubba Major, and Major Basinski all died under very strange circumstances, alleged suicides. One was found floating in a golf course pond. So the others, the proverbial one shot through the head. A very, very sharp blog has been keeping track of this, and that is the LegalSchnauzer.com blog. And the Legal Schnauzer has been chasing some of this particular game around the block and barking very loudly. And I'm going to relay some of what comes from this website, of course, with links to be included in the description. A Legal Schnauzer article from March 31st of 2011 sets forth some of the parameters of this investigation. Another suicide, unquote, darkens the political landscape in Karl Rove's Alabama. For the fourth time in roughly a year, a person with ties to Alabama's corporate and political elites has committed suicide under mysterious circumstances. This time, the deceased had family ties to a man who committed a most public suicide in March of 2010. Charles Bubba Major died on Monday at age 59, and his funeral will be at 3 p.m. today at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Bubba Major was a first cousin of prominent Birmingham attorney Major Basinski, B-A-S-H-I-N-S-K-Y, whose body was found floating in a golf course pond last March and was later ruled a suicide, a finding we have reported as dubious at best. Bubba Major was quoted publicly as saying the story of Major Basinski's death did not add up. Now, sources are telling Legal Schnauzer this morning that Bubba Major's death has been ruled a suicide, and that has been confirmed with today's post from GoodMorningFloridaKeys.com, a blog written by Sloan Basinski Jr., Major's older brother. Now, Sloan Basinski Sr., his estate, he's deceased now. He had filed a lawsuit, and apparently some of the information coming to light and the ruling in that lawsuit may very well have been what prompted the, quote, suicide, unquote, of Bubba Major, who was a close friend, he was a close friend of Major Basinski. Actually, he was a relative of Major Basinski, excuse me. They were also good friends. Continuing with the Legal Schnauzer article. This brings to four the number of curious suicides in roughly the past year in Alabama, all involving individuals with ties to the state's conservative ruling elites. We know about Major Basinski and Bubba Major. The others are Ralph Stacy, an executive with the Business Council of Alabama, and Bob Cavanis, an investigator in the office of former Attorney General Troy King. This list doesn't include Zoa White, a woman who worked in the Riley administration and was found beaten to death in her mobile home. And the remainder of this article and also the article that's going to follow, I actually preceded this one in time, will set forth how some of these people relate to what this writer terms Karl Rove's Alabama and the series of overlapping machinations and investigations. Continuing. Both Major Basinski and Bubba Major, again, two of the, quote, suicides, unquote, had roundabout ties to a lawsuit brought by the estate of Sloan Basinski Sr. against the Birmingham firm W&H Investments. The H stands for William Cobb Chip, unquote, Hazelrig, an entrepreneur with ties to the Alabama gaming community. Hazelrig is a partner in Paragon Gaming, a company headed by Robert Sigler of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Paragon is pursuing a major gambling resort in Canada, and Rob Riley, the son of former Alabama Republican Governor Bob Riley, used to be involved in Paragon. This last sentence again, because it sets forth one of the key connections. Hazelrig, and that's the fellow for whom Sloan Basinski Sr. had worked. He's the guy that filed the lawsuit, even his estate filed the lawsuit, and apparently some of the findings in that led to the, quote, suicide, unquote, of his son and a relative and friend of his son, Bubba Major. Hazelrig is a partner in Paragon Gaming, a company headed by Robert Sigler of Tuscaloosa. Paragon is pursuing a major gambling resort in Canada, and Rob Riley, the son of former Alabama Republican Governor Bob Riley, used to be involved with Paragon. Bubba Major was known as one of the finest golfers in Alabama and was a longtime member of the prestigious Country Club of Birmingham. And how is this for irony? An internet search reveals that Bubba Major worked in sales at Southline Steel, a company based in Bessemer, Alabama. Who has a prominent interest in Southline Steel? None other than Chip Hazelrig. Again, a partner in a gaming company with the son of the former Republican governor of Alabama, the guy who succeeded Dom Siegelman, by the way. People with ties to the lawsuit styled Estate of Sloan Bushinsky versus W&H Investments have a curious way of turning up as suicide victims. Is that because Chip Hazelrig has ties to Alabama's Republican machine, built largely by Karl Rove in the 1990s and run by the Riley family in the 2000s? And is this ugliness driven partly because of the GOP's under-the-table ties to the gambling industry? We know for sure that Chip Hazelrig took some curious actions last March while Major Bushinsky was missing. Why would he show up for a visit with Sloan Bushinsky Jr. in Key West, Florida? And what about Hazelrig's ties to the Alabama GOP? Rob Riley distanced himself from Paragon Gaming only after a contribution from Hazelrig to Bob Riley's gubernatorial campaign was revealed to have come from someone with ties to gambling. Bob Riley, now Bob Riley's the dad, the governor, Rob Riley's the son involved with the gaming firm. Bob Riley returned the contribution claiming that he was staunchly anti-gambling. He was shocked to learn that there was gambling going on in Alabama, paraphrasing the words of Louis Renault from Casablanca, and he went on to launch a crusade against electronic bingo in the last year of his reign as governor. The Riley family's public stance on gambling, of course, represents breathtaking hypocrisy. Rob Riley, it has been widely reported, was elected with massive financial assistance from Mississippi Choctaw gaming interests, funneled through convicted GOP felon Jack Abramoff. And it has been well documented that Rob Riley has ties to Chip Hazelrig, Rob Sigler, and their gaming interests. Now, two people with ties to the Bushinsky family, which was seeking an accounting of $37 million invested with Chip Hazelrig's company, have turned up dead. Both have been ruled a suicide, but we have shown that there are significant reasons to doubt the finding in the Major Bushinsky case. The Bubba Major story is in its early stages, but we've seen signs that he was concerned about what had happened to his cousin. Did that concern cost him his life? We would not be surprised if the answer is yes. And the article goes on to say, consider this legal schnauzer post dated May 25th from 2010. Authorities say Bushinsky wrapped rope around parts of his body and attached a bottle that contained a copy of the note they found in his car. He stuck a label from a go. This is the guy found floating in the pond on the golf course. Excuse me. Authorities say Bushinsky wrapped rope around parts of his body and attached a bottle that contained a copy of the note they found in his car. He stuck a label from a golden flake bag in the roof of his mouth and loosely bound his mouth with duct tape and his hands with rope. He then walked into the pond and shot himself. You like that? If he waded into the water, obviously the water was shallow. Being in Alabama in early March, the water probably was not terribly cold. This was on a public golf course where many people come and go, and yet the body remained submerged and unnoticed for roughly 12 days, if one can believe the official version. I don't pretend to be a forensic pathologist, but this seems unlikely, and officials gave no indication that the body was weighted down by any object. In a post dated March 23rd, Sloan Bushinsky shined light on this issue, quoting a relative named Charles Bubba Major, who was a well-known golfer in the Birmingham area. In an email, Bubba Major wrote, "You probably did not know that I ran Highland Golf Course for 15 years from 1983 through 98 and thought it was ironic that they found Major's body at Highland Golf Course. Still have not heard the cause of death, but guess it will come out soon. For the record, there is no way The body could have been there several days without being seen because Hooters had a golf tourney there Saturday and had over 120 people going by that pond every 3 minutes. Reviewing again here the circumstances behind Major Bushinsky's alleged suicide. Authorities say Bushinsky wrapped rope around parts of his body, attached a bottle that contained a copy of the note they found in his car. He stuck a label from a Golden Flake bag in the roof of his mouth and loosely bound his own mouth with duct tape and his hands with rope. He then walked into the pond and shot himself. And again, I suppose the body remained submerged and unnoticed for 12 days. It seemed clear that Bubba Major did not buy the official story about his cousin's death. In his post today about Bubba Major's suicide, Sloan Bushinsky Jr. writes, "Tuesday brought terrible news from my oldest, Bushinsky's first cousin, Tuesday brought terrible news from my oldest Bushinsky first cousin that my youngest first cousin on my mother's side had killed himself. I wrote back that Bubba had told me he was under strain and things didn't seem to be working out in Birmingham, but I never considered this outcome. Probably I didn't want to consider it. I told my brother's first wife yesterday that Bubba probably felt like a total failure after he didn't make it on the pro tour." Skipping down. "We certainly respect Sloan's take on issues connected to his family, but I have reviewed the court file in the estate of Sloan Bushinsky versus W&H Investments, and I have reviewed the autopsy report in the death of Major Bushinsky. I have also reported the suicides," unquote, "of Ralph Stacey and Bob Cavanis. Together, I suspect something incredibly ugly is going on in Alabama, and it has ties to our corrupt, dysfunctional, and pathological political system." Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment, huh? Again, perhaps my chuckling here might put some people off. It's rather a manifestation of what Nietzsche noted when he observed that, quote, "a joke is the epigram on the death of a feeling." Now, reviewing some of these names again from an earlier post from LegalSchnauzer.com, a very dogged pursuit being investigated by the Schnauzer. This from December 21st of 2010. "Another mysterious death darkens the political landscape in Karl Rove's Alabama. An investigator in the office of Alabama Attorney General Troy King recently died under mysterious circumstances, according to a growing list of suspicious deaths in the final 12 months or so of Governor Bob Riley's two terms. Robert William Bob Cavanis died on November 15th in Alexander City, Alabama, where he lived. Multiple sources have told Legal Schnauzer that Cavanis died from a gunshot wound to the head, and his death apparently is being considered a suicide. Sources also say that Cavanis was friends with Ralph Stacey, a Business Council of Alabama, or BCA, executive who was found dead in his office in September, also from an apparently self-inflicted gunshot wound. Cavanis and Stacey reportedly shared a common faith, and both were lay ministers. An obvious question: was Bob Cavanis investigating his friend's death, and did he get too close to the truth for someone's comfort? Another question: is this toxic environment a natural byproduct of efforts by Karl Rove and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to take over Alabama courts in the 1990s, which served as a precursor to the Don Siegelman prosecution and other nasty events in our state? Cavanis was 46 years old with a wife and two sons and had worked for the Montgomery Police Department mostly in drug investigations for 20 years before going to work for the Attorney General's office." And skipping down and reviewing some of these other deaths connected to this milieu, "the Cavanis case marks at least four suspicious deaths that we know of in 2010, all involving people with some connections to the Riley administration or its activities. Cavanis' boss, Attorney General Troy King, is a Republican and once was a Riley ally. But the two have had a very public and ugly falling out over gambling-related issues. King has stated that electronic bingo generally is legal in Alabama, while Riley launched a crusade to shut down gaming facilities in Alabama. 11 lobbyists, legislators, and gaming figures, including the high-profile Milton McGregor and Ronnie Gilley, are under indictment on charges related to gambling legislation." Skipping down, what are the other suspicious deaths? They're actually skipping. I'm going to read this last sentence again. 11 lobbyists, legislators, and gaming figures, including the high-profile Milton McGregor and Ronnie Gilley, are under indictment on charges related to gambling legislation. The investigation has been led by U.S. Attorney Laura Canary a Riley ally and George W. Bush appointee who inexplicably has remained in office throughout the Barack Obama administration. Her name, by the way, attorney Laura Canary crops up in connection with the Don Siegelman investigation, as well as you will see in connection when you read the Wikipedia article about Don Siegelman. Reviewing about the deaths so far. What are the other suspicious deaths? And this is not a talk about Bubba Major. Major Basinski, the 63-year-old son of one of the state's best-known businessmen, was reported missing in early March. About 2 weeks later, his body was found floating on a golf course pond on Birmingham's south side, and his death was ruled a suicide. Skipping down, we've already talked about the extraordinary circumstances of that, and Bubba Major said flat out there's no way that body could have remained at that pond without being seen. Continuing, one of the partners in WH Investments is William Cobb Chip Hazelrig, who once had a campaign contribution to Bob Riley Return when it was discovered that Hazelrig was a founding partner of a company called Paragon Gaming. Both Hazelrig and Rob Riley, the governor's son, had ties to a company called Crimsonica, which is based in Tuscaloosa and run by a man named Robert Siegler. Zoa White, a former Riley campaign worker, the 69-year-old White was found dead in her Midtown Mobile home on June 28th. News reports have said that she was beaten to death with a hammer. White had worked in the Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs under Bill Johnson, who went from being a member of the Riley administration to one of the governor's harshest critics. Johnson was so close to White and her family that he helped notify friends about funeral arrangements. Mobile police recently made an arrest in White's murder, but they have said little about evidence found in the case. Skipping down, Ralph Stacey. He was in charge of strategic communications and was a chief lieutenant to BCA President Bill Canary. Canary, who is Laura Canary's husband, is a longtime associate of Karl Rove and U.S. Chamber of Commerce President Tom Donahue. Montgomery police have released few details about Stacy's death, and the Montgomery Advisor has written almost nothing about it. Stacy was 53 with a wife, Angel, and a daughter, Savannah. Friends and colleagues described him as a jovial man who was a popular public speaker. Before moving under the BCA banner earlier this year, Stacy had served as director of the Chamber of Commerce Association of Alabama, which represented the state's 120 chambers of commerce and had some 60,000 dues-paying members. The BCA, with about 5,000 members, reportedly had long coveted the sizable membership over which Stacy ruled. Is it coincidence that these deaths happened in 2010 as Bob Riley's term was winding down and the governor was engaged in a high-profile crusade with gambling interests? Is it coincidence that these deaths occurred as questions continued to rise about Riley's financial support from the Mississippi Choctaw Indians, reportedly laundered through GOP convicted felon Jack Abramoff? Is it a coincidence that Bob Riley has strong ties to Bill Canary, Karl Rove, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and Riley's term is ending amidst a disturbingly high body count? It could be. Is it possible that there is nothing suspicious about any of these deaths? Ask yourselves about that. Just consider what happened to Mr. Basinski. That is just wild. Now, one of the figures mentioned who is being investigated is Milton McGregor, and there are allegations that a couple of FBI agents were harassing William Bob Cavanaugh, one of the alleged suicides, and that's what caused him to take his own life. This is interesting in and of itself. This, again, from Legal Schnauzer. This is from Monday, April 4th of 2011. FBI harassment preceded Alabama official suicide. We're going to continue with this, however, on side two of For the Record program number 742. Please use the SpitfireList.com website. It is the finest individual source for information about this type of research, and it's got my entire life's work up there available for download for free. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 742, Body Count, subtitled Sweet Home Alabama. This program has been recorded on May 15th of the year 2011. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.